first time in a long time. But it seems like just yesterday when we were side by side. Beast mode, no one's blocking our way. These other guys tried it, but them man ain't got the skills of Braden and Davey, brazen and raging, bringing you the thrills and spills. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, DVP, the BD elite. Right here in full gear, about to blow up like TNT. Us man are too sweet, Brady, DVP, the BD elite.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for BD Elite. We are live on Twitch.
Yes, twitch.tv/upnextpodcast and youtube.com/upnext. And there's barbed wire everywhere.
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 If you're listening to the audio version in whatever podcast app you're using, hello. You can't see it, but there's barbed wire.
Our mics are wrapped in barbed wire, our camera, our laptop. Braden is wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Barbed wire wrapped scallops.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything barbed wire here tonight with a shark cage. Why not? Because I'm not sure if you heard, but next week is Shark Week.
Is Shark Week. Yeah. Would it have been better to do it on Shark Week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was confused.
Yeah. So it starts what, Sunday?
Starts Sunday.
Yeah. Well, we can start early. Let me hit you with a nice shark fact there.
It better be a different shark fact. Fuck. Don't tease me with.
All right. You know what? I'm going to, throughout the show, like have some.
Sprinkle in
and I'll surprise you with a good shark fact a bit later on.
All right. I'll give you I have a shark week question. What wrestler did Shark Boy think he was when he woke up in a coma back in TNA wrestling? Shark Boy got put in a coma. Okay. When he woke up, he thought he acted like a famous wrestler, and it became a gimmick. So Shark Boy became
Randy Savage.
No, that was Jay Lethal.
That was Jay Lethal.
Yeah, yeah.
Ultimate Warrior.
No. Sorry, that's two strikes. So Shark Boy was Stone Cold Shark Boy.
God.
And
not even clever.
I don't even remember why. It's just
so he woke up and just thought he was Steve Austin.
If I'm remembering, like, go YouTube this. There was like Shark Boy who like is Stone Cold. He would do like he would sound like your Austin impersonation.
What?
Yeah. He would just do that and walk around. So it's pretty funny. Shout out Shark Boy. A clear miss that Tony's pockets don't run deep enough because he couldn't afford Shark Boy on tonight's show. Even like a Danhausen Shark Boy bit would have been fun.
Well, there's always next week.
There's next week because it's actually Shark Week.
Yeah.
Fight for the Fallen Sharks.
Yeah.
Which is cool that they're doing that too. But yeah, Shark Week. Super excited here. You know we love Shark Week because if you've been listening to us, we did Shark Week last year. We did Deep Blue Sea and best match ever, Shark Cage match, where I'm going to be putting it up for free on this free feed for anyone who's never listened to it yet. Maybe you haven't checked out our Patreon. You want to hear us talk about ridiculous
stuff we do there.
And we did dive into the history of the Shark Cage match a bit. Mm. So that is a fun show. So I'll put it up on this free feed. When did Shark Week start?
Sunday.
All right. Well, I'll put it up Sunday night for you.
We've got Sharknado coming out Sunday.
Okay, so Monday. You get it for free on Monday on this feed. If you haven't listened to it already, go check it out. But patrons, yes, Sharknado is our review from the 6 this week, coming out on Sunday to kick off Shark Week. Crazy, crazy stuff. I mean, you get great, great acting, crazy special effects.
Wonderful script.
Just everything you could ask for in a shark movie. You're wearing a Jaws shirt.
Of course, yeah.
So you're wearing... That's probably still like the
OG.
Well,
I was like, it's still sharky-themed today.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, I thought I'd rock this.
Like,
whoa! That was the craziest lightning I've seen in my life.
Wow.
Sorry. Wow. It was like...
We are having a lightning storm.
It was like Thor. Like, just bolts everywhere. That was crazy.
I got an idea for a movie.
What's that?
Lightning Sharks.
Lightning Sharks. Well, isn't that Dr. Evil's thing?
No, that's sharks laser with beams. Laser beams attached to their head.
Lightning Sharks.
Lightning Sharks.
There must be a better name for that.
Lightning Sharks.
Lightning Sharks?
Lightning Sharks.
Okay, all right.
That sounds all right. You took two hockey teams and put them together. Lightning Sharks.
Yeah.
I used to watch Street Sharks.
Yeah.
You know that show?
It was like Biker Mice from Mars, but with sharks, wasn't it?
Yeah. See, like, you knew those shows, but didn't know Ninja Turtles. I think that's crazy.
I knew Ninja Turtles. Okay. I didn't watch Ninja Turtles. Right. We've been through this.
Street Sharks was cool. Those toys were pretty sweet as a kid. I'm trying to remember. You know, we need to give sharks a good rap. That's what Shark Week is actually about.
What's some other good sharks? Some nice sharks.
Sharks?
Isn't there one in...
Oh.
There's a DreamWorks film or a Pixar film.
Sharkland? Shark World? What was it? Shark's Tale.
A Shark's Tale. That was a nice shark.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. He was a shark all along.
Yeah.
What about Baby Shark?
Baby Shark. It's popular.
Yeah, any parents out there are like shaking their heads like, please God, no.
But it works, doesn't it? They love the shark, the baby shark.
Yeah. I think that song did the best for sharks. Because now kids are like, sharks aren't that bad. They have good songs.
They're babies too. You
know? Yeah, exactly. So Shark Week is all about, you know, trying to make us not hate sharks and not judge sharks because they're scary. Just like, we're the real problem. I don't know.
Yeah. There is, I think, an orangutan week coming up in November. So I'm just putting it out there between the 4th and the 10th.
Did you say orangutan month?
Week.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, there's a certain Dustin Checks In film we need to do at
some
point.
You mean an orangutan movie?
Yeah.
So when's orangutan week?
November 4th to 10th.
So we'll do that for St. Andrew's Day.
St. Andrew's Day this year.
Look, if the people want it, we'll give it to them.
We can release Loch Ness for free.
Right.
For St. Andrew's Day. But on the Patreon, Dustin Checks In.
Wow, that's a good movie.
Booking ahead. Yeah.
What other animals get months or weeks? Like, is there like a grizzly bear week or like, I don't know, snake week?
I'm sure there's a week. Snake week? Let's have a look. Snake, there must be. Snake awareness week. They get a day. They just get
snake
a day.
Snake day.
July 16th. We just missed it, actually. World Snake Day.
Could have watched Anaconda.
It was just the other day. Damn.
Snakes.
What else did you say? Grizzly bear week?
I don't know. I feel like they deserve a...
Grizzly Bear Awareness
Bear week.
Is there a National Grizzly Bear Day? Yes, April 4th.
Nice. It's usually around WrestleMania time.
What else? Hit me with another.
Another Lion Day? Lion Week?
Oh, of course there's a Lion Week.
Giant cat, like big cat.
August week. 10th. So we're coming up to Lion
Of course,
Lion
it's Leo
Day.
Season, right?
It's a Wednesday.
Okay, what about wolves?
Wolves?
I'm going to fix wolves.
Wolves Awareness Week.
Riveting.
They get a week. So wolves get a week. Lions get a day. Snakes get a day.
Huh.
Orangutans get a week. Sharks get a week.
Interesting.
October 18th to 24th.
Right. Okay. That seems all right. Yeah. Sharks deserve a week, though, too, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what other animals deserve a whole week to celebrate.
I don't know. Wolves, I've seen, like, raising kids and things like that.
What?
Sharks.
The Jungle Book?
Yeah. There's like real Jungle Book stories.
Is there? I always wondered that.
Wolves raising
We're going off
kids.
On one before talking about Dynamite. But
yeah, it's like happened more than once.
Damn. All right, well, I'm...
Kamala and Amala, better known as the Wolf Children.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. Don't really want to talk about this week's episode, to be honest.
No, I'd rather talk about sharks. Hey, hit me with the shark fact. What's going on? You're loafing on the shark facts. You're supposed
All
to
right,
be
All right, okay, I've got one. I've got one here.
Okay, hit me.
Did you know sharks do not have bones?
You son of a bitch. All right, well, we can discuss some AEW from tonight. I guess we'll have to. And yeah, they're heavy in the Shark Week advertising for Discovery and Warner and stuff. I like the crossover. I think it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Shark Week is always a fun thing. But the biggest Forbidden Door opened tonight. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the master of ceremonies for Shark Week. Yes, you heard me correctly. So he was shown on AEW television in the ad they
played. He was, yeah.
So, like, you know, never say never.
He's been on AEW.
He's been on Impact.
He's been on Impact, but didn't show up to his birthday or whatever at Survivor Series last year.
Yeah, didn't show up to that whole circle
show dedicated
yeah,
to him.
Good on him.
Yeah.
But sharks are important. So.
Yeah, and Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly. Good good guy, Rocky. So, yeah, they're in Atlanta tonight from AEW Dynamite from July 20th, 2022. It's Fyter Fest Night 2. We had last week and tonight a big card for the show, starting off with a whole set of shark-themed things. A giant shark just in front of the commentary desk. It looked like Jaws, a nice megalodon or something. Great white. I'm trying to learn my sharks.
Yeah.
Megalodons are not alive anymore, I think. There you go. That's a shark. That's a shark for you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's the movie The Meg. I've never watched it.
Next year?
sounds good. Yeah, sounds good. Oh, no. We're doing Three-Headed Shark Attack starring Danny Trejo and RVD.
Okay.
Sounds terrible.
All right.
So we start off Dynamite with Brody King going up against Darby Allin. So the story is Darby was like, hey, you lost, but you're pretty good. And Brody's like, you know what? I'm going to beat you up at Izumi's. So
yeah, they kind of filled in this story a little bit more on commentary, where it was after after Dynamite went off the air a couple of weeks ago when Darby and Sting came out. And Darby was kind of like, that you did a good showing, unlucky, to Brody. And they kind of painted in here that they've actually known each other a long time. They were working on the indies together and actually considered each other's other friends. So it was showing, like, Darby being, like, genuine mm-hmm. then. But it pissed off Brody and beat him up in Izumi's. And now we got a match.
So he also eliminated him in that Royal Rampage match with the sleeper, then dropping mm-hmm. him. So this match starts. Brody comes out. He's all angry. Darby comes out. Sting walks back to the back. And this is pretty much a demolition derby of Darby Allin getting thrown around here. Brody is just killing him. There's like a spot where you almost like the Beal throw, but into the ropes, like upside down. He is just throwing this dummy around. Looked like it really hurt, but I guess Darby's good at getting thrown around. There's then like they're fighting through the crowd and everything. And again, during picture in picture right away, Darby's still getting slapped up by Brody King. When we come back, Darby finally gets some offense in with a couple of strikes and grabs, I think, his own belt and like wraps it around the feet of Brody to like, to trip him and immobilize him for a little bit there. He gets Brody on the outside and hits a crazy cannonball tope. Again, this move is
this nasty. Was awesome because it was as Brody was getting up. So normally we see it to a standing opponent, but Brody was like on his knees here as it hit him.
Yeah.
Which means Darby's coming even lower to the ground at this speed, which is just insane.
Terrifying. Darby tries to go for the Stun Dog Millionaire, but gets caught, and he's put into the sleeper again, the same spot, reenacted, and then he's dropped like trash to the ringside area, and the ref starts to count, but he wakes up at the 9 count and gets back in just to make it, as he's welcomed by a gonzo bomb from Brody King. This is the Misawa...
Yeah, wasn't it what... I can't remember. Did it break Kawada's neck? WH is going to hate us. But yeah, it was like an accidental powerbomb just dumping someone on his head. Yeah, and then that became the gonzo bomb.
Yeah, and Brody King just absolutely murders Darby with this. This I love the replay on this. But I mean, I don't know how he does this without hurting himself. Yeah, this is a finishing move. Brody King pins Darby in just... I think what was to get Brody over even more, just demolishing this guy here.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I think Brody's way more entertaining when he's doing this and throwing people around. The Mox match didn't really hit with me too much, but Darby's really the best person, probably in the world, at being a ragdoll. So yeah, Seeing Brody just ragdoll him around was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. No, I could see the story maybe continuing, because after this, it looks like he's going to beat up Darby after the match, but Sting comes out to save him, but the lights go out in the middle of the ring, and when they come back on, Malakai Black is in the ring, and Sting knew where to go. It's like Sting has the power of the lights out in his past, so he knows, like, all of a sudden when it came on, he's standing, like, straight face-to-face. This is when Brody grabs Sting. Malakai spits in Sting's face, and they beat him up too. So
Sting looks way better when wearing the leather jacket as well. Right. In the trench coat, he looked almost younger here, rather than when he's just wearing his like T-shirt over the top.
He's still wearing the T-shirt.
He is, but with the it looks cooler with the trench coat.
So I guess we're going to get this tag match in the near future. Sting and Darby versus...
Well, Miro comes out.
Sorry. Right. Miro comes out and saves the day from like a, what we could imagine, but a stare down here and Malakai and Brody like exit.
Yeah, so it looks like we're getting a six-man, I imagine.
Maybe in the next week
House
or so.
House of Black against Sting, Darby.
Which eventually, I guess, Miro, Malakai one-on-one.
I would think so, yeah. Malakai. It's a bit of a strange feud, I think, Miro and teaming up with these guys. I keep feeling like with Darby and Sting, we're either going to get a good singles run for Darby or at some point they're going to go for the tag titles. And they keep on just getting sidetracked on the way, I feel, with different people. But yeah. I think this six-man could be excellent. And Miro mixing it up with these people.
With Sting.
Well, Miro's partnering Sting.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. But Miro and Black, Miro and Brody could be quite fun.
Yeah, either of those matches sound good. And I think All Out could be Malakai versus Miro.
Miro?
Unless Malakai is like a bigger role by that time. But yeah, cool. I would like any iteration of some of these matches. Sting versus Malakai Black.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
Yeah. When are we going to get that first Sting singles match? It's got to just be the one against Darby, I imagine.
At this point, yeah. It was going to be Cody.
Cody's gone.
Yeah. We go to Cole Carter. You know who this guy is, Cole Carter? You ever hear about him? He looks really familiar.
Looks really like that. Two Dimes.
What?
Troy Donovan.
Two Dimes. Cole Carter. Wouldn't you know him? This is his name now. Cole Carter is in AEW. And I feel like we may be the only people who know this, who this guy is.
I mean, there was enough for there to be a line here. I think...
Ricky Starks watches 2.0 because he comes in and interrupts this guy's interview because he's the challenger tonight and says, the last time I saw you, you were sleeping with the fishes, but tonight you're swimming with the sharks. Mm. Ricky Starks.
Yeah, they're saying, because Cole Carter has been on AEW before.
Before he signed with WWE.
Been in, like, Dark and that kind of thing. So they were saying kind of, like, he went away, he's back. Like, just kind of, like, resetting here. But there were a few lines, like, referencing his time.
Two Dimes.
Sleeping with the fishes.
Nice. So he's going to face Ricky Starks later tonight. But we go to our next match. The Best Friends, Chucky T and Trent, going up against Jon Moxley and Wheeler Yuta. And it's basically a like family feud here. I mean, Yuta was the son of the Best Friends, and he left to go join a fight club.
Yeah.
With a bunch of, you know, tough, manly men. And I guess the Best Friends feel a little, you know, abandoned.
Slighted, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted...
They helped this guy out.
Yeah, they taught him everything they know. They helped him get here to AEW, and that's how he repays them, by just leaving and going and joining a fight club.
Mm.
It's kind of weird. I expected Chucky T to wear, like, these shirts, the I'm not the stepfather, I'm the father that stepped up.
Right. Yeah, I found this a bit... And I think this is maybe still a bit of Forbidden Door hangover.
Okay.
This was something we were, like, this story had been building, and then Yuta went away for Best Super Juniors. And then it was back, and it was Forbidden Door. Then it was Blood and Guts. And now it's just putting together just a random match for TV, but going, oh yeah, like, remember 2 months ago? We were mad about this.
Right.
Like, they haven't seemed mad recently. They got a new theme tune. They got new tracksuits. Like, they've been all right.
I don't know, man. Chucky pulled out a chainsaw last week. So I was a little worried for Yuta here.
Yeah.
How are they going to win? We're going to cheat.
I loved
that line last week. So, yeah, the story is that Yuta left, so they're a little upset. Yuta's in the ring, and it's a lot of offense from Chucky and Trent beating down on Yuta. Eventually, Mox comes in and clears house. Did he hit a cutter catching one of them?
Yeah, he's been doing the RKO, hasn't he? Recently?
It looks good. It looks good. Chucky T, when Mox is hung up on the top rope, eventually turns him up inside out and hits Moxley with the awful waffle, which is quite similar to the Gonzo bomb that we were just talking about earlier. So Moxley looked like he's just got crunched by this pile driver. And if that wasn't enough, Chucky grabs Wheeler Yuta, stuffs him with a short pile driver, rolls him through to Trent, who then hits him with a pile driver, but somehow Yuta kicks out at two. Yuta fires back, eventually hits German suplexes, but then gets caught with the strong zero. Moxley breaks it up at 2.9 with a regal knee to Trent's head. Now all four guys are going at it, and they're all four down. The crowd's going pretty crazy. Eventually, Chucky T is left alone in the ring with Yuta. He goes for, I think, the awful waffle on him. There's a counter and a counter, which leads to Wheeler Yuta using what they call the seatbelt roll-up attempt, pinning attempt here, and pins Chucky T to the mat as, is it Tony Schiavone, I think, on commentary, who says Chucky actually taught him that move. But Wheeler pins Chucky.
So now, is that an insult, or is that a sign of respect? Being like, you see, I learned stuff from you, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, you taught me stuff, too. I didn't learn everything I know from these guys. I can still remember your tricks.
You're not wrong.
So, which is it? Is it...
Yeah.
You could look at it both ways.
Wheeler does seem like a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, he wouldn't want to...
I mean, it's cheeky. I'd be mad, you know, getting beaten by your own move.
Yeah.
But it's also, that's what you told me. All right,
you beat me with that move. Okay. Yeah. I actually really like that. The story within this match and that finish was pretty great, actually. I think this was my favorite part of the show, actually.
Yeah, it was a strong match. I think best friends are, they're in a great, like, I don't know, utility role, I guess. Whenever I see them have a tag match on TV, it's normally pretty entertaining, but they're just not in the conversation of really having anything serious. So for like a TV match, I thought there was a little bit of history there you could draw it on with these two teams. I felt the crowd swaying, like getting behind like Chuck and Trent. Yeah. And then being like, oh, into Yuta and stuff. Because
I would.
I would too. You feel for these guys. They left him.
It's a good story. I love the best friends. I think, it was Orange Cassidy on commentary that said that.
Okay.
So he was there with William Regal. They were bouncing off each other.
I love Orange doing his best JR impression, because Excalibur's going, and these two trained together in the JoJo over here and did this and this and this. And Orange is like, okay.
Yeah. JR comes out later.
Yeah. He does the same thing.
Yeah. I thought this was a good self-contained story. And I do like the whole best friends. This doesn't hurt them at all. You're right. They're a utility here, and they help people get over and they help Wheeler Yuta learn pinning combinations that they can win with.
I think they're a team that at some point you could do that. I don't want to say not a nostalgia run, but you could give them the titles. And I think people would be like, it would be a nice kind of couple of month reign that, you deserve it. You've been here since day one. And I think you could someday build up a big story to actually get people behind them.
I think so too. And with Orange Cassidy kind of still, he has his team.
Yeah.
Like he has his backup in case he's ever feuding with people and stuff. So it's always, they're a good, it's shitty to say they're a good hand, but like literally they're really good at this. And I do think they could get a run.
But it was, for me, it was kind of like, glaring, it's like shaking off the cobwebs from Forbidden Door. It's like Rocky's out, Chucky's back in, like shuffle the deck back a little bit.
Chucky makes me laugh.
Oh, he's great.
And like, he's got to bring that chainsaw back.
Mm. With the goatee now, like, he could be like Andre Chase's older brother.
Ah. Yeah, I could see it. They'd probably get along.
I think so.
They'd probably both like swearing and yelling. I like the match. Everyone looked good in that. And the awful waffle on Moxley was nasty. We get a video for Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, which is this Saturday night. So go check that show out. We'll definitely be chatting about it next week on a show in some way, shape, or form. But I'm pretty hyped to check out some of these matches.
Yeah, they filled out the card later, didn't they? Well, I'll get it off. We can read the card a bit. In a bit.
Sure, yeah. We'll go to when we get a rundown later. We then see a shark. It's a shark.
Is it?
It's someone in a shark costume that they then say Chompy.
Okay.
That in wrestling, I'm instantly, okay, who's in this costume?
CM Punk. CM Punk's back.
But it leads to no one. Spoilers. Yeah. But then they mention that it's Shark Week. I'm not sure if you knew that. And then they mention that they're helping to raise...
They're talking about fishes and
save the fishes and save the oceans. And I'm honestly all for it. So let's go.
I mean, we've seen like we're killing the world at the moment.
Yeah.
Like back home, fires everywhere because it's global warming and stuff.
That's right.
So, you know, save the fishes. Let's look after this planet.
Yeah.
We're living on.
Yeah, that's right. Don't litter.
Mm.
And don't eat Doritos.
Nope.
They're pretty good.
Walk when you can. You don't need to drive everywhere.
Right. Wow, yeah. Look at you.
Yeah.
See, we care.
Okay.
BDE cares. We see Swerve in Our Glory. It's the title celebration. It's a celebration for Swerve and Keith Lee. Not. I love these guys. Not the quite the celebration.
Oh, I've got so many things to say about this segment.
Look, I love AEW, but we do a show called Up Next where we talk about NXT every week. We just had the Mellowbration like last week in the penthouse.
Yeah.
That's a celebration.
Is it just heels know how to party?
Yeah.
Because sure. This was like, they had what? A cake.
Like a grocery store cake. Like the basic, most basic white
pretty
cake.
Pretty large, but then they also didn't invite anyone.
Yeah.
So it was both of them, a glass of champagne each, which they weren't even holding. Like it was just sat on the table at the bottom of the ramp.
Yeah.
Like we knocked Britt Baker's celebration for having a load of burgers, but at least she had friends and a load of burgers, you know?
Yeah.
Like what was this?
This is just two blokes hanging around.
Yeah.
This is like.
They got their rapper friend Kevin with them.
Yeah, he showed up. He's not even in the ring though. Okay, so there's a cake and like some champagne that's like ringside. So just a really weak celebration if we're nitpicking here. But like these two.
Well, we know how to throw a party, don't we?
We do. I don't want to.
And
yeah,
we don't
wanna
have the money these guys have. We haven't just won the tag team championships.
Yeah, don't take that as us. We're trying to toot our own horn. But if you know, you know. We know how to fucking. Yeah. Have a nice party. And these guys look like they do know how to party, but for some reason their celebration was a grocery store flat white cake and a
so
bottle.
So did Swerve bring the champagne and Keith brought
yeah,
the cake?
What
is that
this?
It?
What the
and they were like, party.
Yeah.
There we
and
go.
Tony Schiavone's that'll in the do. Ring. Great. Perfect.
Didn't even have hats. Could have given Tony a hat. He's got his earrings though.
Yeah. He had more bling than Swerve in this ring. So the Swerve and Our Glory are the new tag champions, and they're talking about celebrating. They're talking about how both of them, like they kind of tease that, you know, they had their bit of their friendly dislike or something like along those lines, like some heads colliding, but they've landed to be on the same team and they won the titles. And
yeah, Swerve plays it up because everyone's chanting Bask in His Glory.
Yeah.
And he's like, gives the crowd a look, like, what? Like, what am I, chopped liver kind of thing?
And he says, whose house?
Yeah.
Swerve's house. So they talk about how they finally got here, and Swerve mentions that there's a rap mogul in the crowd. Kevin Gates, here in Atlanta, is ringside. And Keith Lee, with his best, hello, fellow kids, how do you do? Mm. Keith Lee's like, yo, Kevin Gates, when's that deluxe album coming out? And Kevin's like,
he does
soon.
A whole bit trying to take his jacket off as well. And Swerve's just going, take it off, no, leave it on. It was just weird.
Like, you could have had him in the ring. If he's your boy, why are you making him wait?
Yeah.
Like, stand over there.
Sat over there.
Anyways, so Kevin Gates. What's your favorite Kevin Gates song?
So, this guy's a rapper.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, you're not good. Your name's Kevin. Sorry, like, I don't know much about rap, but, like, yeah. I know a few things.
Yeah.
And I know, like, great, what you got, like, Tupac.
Yeah.
Got.
Yeah, go off,
Dr.
King.
Dre.
Tell
you
me.
You got Snoop Dogg. You got 50 Cent. You got Eminem. You got Kevin. What?
So it's his real name.
This guy sucks.
His real name is Kevin.
Well, get a new name, you know?
But he did change his name to Kevin Gates, yeah.
He kept the Kevin part and changed the rest.
Kevin Gilliard.
Just be called Gilliard, I don't know, like... Kevin!
Yeah.
So we had a makeover once, and this was the G1 last year, and I think there were a few matches, and I was like, and I could show you, mentioned Jeff Cobb, and he's like, I ain't watching a wrestler called Jeff. What kind of name is that for a wrestler? It's like, yeah, fair enough.
I could be wrong, but Kevin Gates also has, like, some weird, I don't want to say maybe allegations or there is, just Google Kevin Gates when you have some time. But I do remember being a big fan of Two Phones, and that's the song name that the guy that interrupts the celebration will bring up because... You know what a real celebration needs? Kevin Gates, sure. But Tony Nese.
He claimed his wife cheated on him.
Oh, that's not
and
that.
And had a leaked sex tape.
Oh, search Google Kevin Gates' cousin.
Kevin Gates, okay. A lot of that going around at the moment. Ricky Martin, what that?
Ricky Martin?
Oh, have you not heard about this?
No.
Ricky Martin, you know.
She bangs. She moves.
Could face 50 years in prison for having, like, sex and abusive relationship with his nephew?
Oh, my God. Jeez.
Meanwhile, Elon Musk's dad, have you heard about this?
Yeah, I have heard about that.
Has impregnated his stepdaughter that he's raised since he was four.
What in the hell? This
she was four.
This podcast took a turn.
Yeah.
In other news, you could check out our review of Old Boy.
Yeah.
2000.
Yeah, good plug.
2003, if you know, you know. Jeez, wow, this got dark.
Yeah.
Wow, quick, give me a shark fact. We need a ear bleach or something.
Do you want a real one or like a
No, well, wait, well, I'll finish the segment here.
Sharks don't have bones.
Well, this episode has Tony Nese. So, Swerve and Keith Lee are in the ring, and Mark Sterling interrupts and walks out with Tony Nese and says, oh, I didn't know this was Kevin Gates. Or I think he gets Kevin, he sucks up to him and says, can you sign this thing? He's trying to start a whole
He's trying to
case.
Get Kevin Gates to sign the petition because one more signature will get Swerve fired somehow.
Yeah.
And Kevin Gates, who isn't even employed by AEW, could apparently sign this thing.
Yeah, why not? It's Kevin Gates. So he doesn't. And Mark Sterling gets mad and says, you actually look like young M.A., which I always thought was Young Ma, but
okay.
If Mark Sterling says Young M.A., then maybe that's her name. She's another great rapper. And then he then says, Kevin Gates, your music sucks, and gets in the face with Kevin, Mr. Kevin. So Tony Nese is in the face of Kevin Gates, and then Kevin Gates, I keep saying Kevin. Kevin! Kevin then... With was
Kills
this
guy.
Yeah. Yeah, watch what you say about Kevin Gates, because Kevin Gates smacks the shit Tony Nese.
He like grabs him by the throat
and
it's not just
he
swings.
Yeah.
He grabs him by the throat and
nails him,
fucking punches him in the face.
Did anyone tell Kevin Gates this is not real? Poor Tony Nese taking a fucking work stiff punch right there. Wow, I don't know, that looked great.
Yeah, this looked painful.
Meanwhile, West Side Gunn is ringside, watching this all take place in front of him, being like, motherfuckers, I've been asking to do angles like this all day. All year, for 2 years. Unless maybe he was the one who was supposed to do it and then read what it was supposed to be and was like, nah.
Kevin can do it.
Let Kevin do it. But yeah, West Side Gunn just chilling. This whole segment was like all over the place.
This sucked.
Yeah.
So okay, so you have... We mentioned, like, shitty party. Like, pathetic celebration of a party. Keith Lee, like, trying to be cute, taking off his jacket. They then set up, look, we want to be fighting champions. We're going to do an open challenge. But first of all, here's our rapper friend Kevin. So, tee up the open challenge. Mark Sterling and Tony Nese come out, who aren't a tag team. And just are continuing this story... That seemed to just be thrown together as an excuse to have a match on Rampage 2-3 weeks ago. It's still going on. And then poor Tony Nese, like, gets shoot punched in the face.
Like Kevin Gates.
So we're like, well, who Swerve's feuding with Nese, is he? Or is Lee? Like, is Nese going to find a partner? Like,
no idea.
Sorry, like, this is, do the celebration and just, we're doing an open challenge. Have a fucking team come out and challenge him.
Yeah.
It's this, like, Nese is so low down on the pecking order. And to think that their first, like, feud is with this guy.
And a lawyer.
It doesn't make you feel like the guys with the titles. You have FTR come out later. That feels like a celebration.
Yeah.
You know, and that's to tee up their match of the weekend.
Yeah, coming
off. This has been the issue with... the AEW main titles for a while.
Like last week, them winning the titles was such a big moment. Great match,
for
big
the
moment.
10 seconds that they
yeah.
had at the end
and
of the show.
And then it's like, okay, we're going to have a celebration. Yeah, it just seemed really lame compared to like how cool Swerve did look in NXT. When he won, remember when he won? He did a whole rap thing. Mm. It was a whole, like...
Yeah, like the cipher.
Yeah, the cipher. So, like, you didn't even do... You just had a shitty cake out there.
And, I mean, maybe the Kevin Gates thing for Atlanta is... Like, I've been to shows, yeah, you know, where, like, Wayne Rooney punched Wade Barrett in the face or stuff like
gotcha,
that. And
yeah,
it's that kind of thing. And for the crowd, sure. I just think this maybe wasn't the place to do it. And I think you needed to make Swerve and Lee feel like a huge deal and the guys in the tag division,
yeah,
to mix it up with this jobber, really.
Like, if you were going to do this route, which it should have been just a different team. It should have been Private Party. It should have been, you know, Butcher and the Blade. Whatever. How many fucking tag teams do we, yeah, have here? I feel like you could have had them celebrating with actual people in the ring, with an actual, like, mm, some sort of budget to this celebration. Balloons, done. A few couches, a few people hanging out on the couches, including Kevin Gates. Mm. So you go, oh, look, we're hanging out with a rapper. And then Sterling is in the ring, and they do the whole thing in the ring. Mm. That's what you needed to do. Instead, you just had two guys who are on the biggest high of their life winning last week, now look like complete, like, goofs a little bit,
yeah,
for some reason. Like, you're trying to get... They look already like they're the coolest dudes.
They didn't seem cool.
Yeah, you somehow did the impossible of making them look less cool than they...
Yeah.
We already know they're cool. They're awesome. But now it's like, what? Mm-hmm. Now they're feuding with a lawyer. They got a rapper guy punching Tony Nese. Tony Nese, man. That guy does not need to go anywhere near the tag division, anywhere near a title right now. Just go away.
You're not having segments on Dynamite.
Go away.
I'm sorry. Like...
Yeah.
Having a good match on Rampage, sure. But, like, come on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tony Nese, but, like, no.
Yeah.
Just have a team come out. Be like, next week, let's do it.
That's all you needed to do.
Yeah.
And instead, Tony Nese is getting punched by Kevin Gates. Good stuff. I just really don't like those grocery store, like, white plain cakes. Like, there's a time and a place, sure, but...
Did Mark Sterling went in it?
Oh, sorry, yeah, of course, yeah, of course.
I can't even remember, but I'm sure he did.
He did, yeah, he did. You're right, yeah. Of course. Why do you think that one cake was there? Just to make sure someone went into it. Yeah, good stuff. And then it cuts back to West Side Gun, another rapper who's just ringside, like, shit, man. John Silver and Alex Reynolds are backstage. They say they wanted a meeting with the Butcher and the Blade, and they look a little confused, like, why did you call us here? And Silver says, we've got you a shirt, Butcher. And he opens the shirt up, and it says Butch on it. And he's like, see, because you're Butch. You're the Butcher. And then says, don't worry, Blade. We got you one, too. And then when they unfold the shirt, it also says Butch. So the Blade says, what's going on with this shit? And then just they start fighting, start beating them up. And then Hangman comes in for the save to scare them off. Butch.
Yeah. I was just feeling like this show, I felt this the last few weeks.
Yeah.
It's sure, you're lacking your stars right now. You're lacking your Bryans, your Punks, your Kennys. But just I felt like from the last segment with Tony Nese, and now here you've got Butcher and the Blade and Reynolds and Silver, it just felt like nothing is really moving forward on this show. I'm just watching these lower mid cards feud play out, yeah, right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels
Hangman,
weird.
Like Hangman just is floating since losing the title.
Yeah, what's he been doing?
He's now, because he doesn't have the title, he's boys with Dark Order again.
Yeah, and half of them aren't even there.
Yeah, it just, it feels odd.
I love John Silver and his humor, and I think they could have done a little something different. I know the Butch thing, because he's been calling people Butch for a long time. He calls Adam Cole Butch. And then now there's an actual wrestler on WWE TV.
Isn't he Budge?
Oh, it's Budge.
Budge.
Oh, yeah, he calls people Budge. So it's not even the right, same thing. But it's Butch, because he's the butcher.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. We go to Luchasaurus and Christian Cage, but I had to double take because I thought I heard Kane's music. And then when I looked, it looked like Kane. He walked like Kane, but he's a dinosaur.
He is. A canosaur.
Canosaurus?
Yeah.
That's what he looks like now. It's like, damn.
He's got the fire and everything.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the same like chord pattern.
Yeah.
As Kane's like, dun, dun, dun.
I hope we eventually get a Kanosaurus Finger 11 version. Yeah. That can be your...
Well, we might not have Kanosaurus after tonight.
Yeah. What was the... I can be your chemical?
Yeah.
Slow Chemical.
Good song. I can be your hero, baby.
Is that Ricky Martin?
No, it's Kevin Gates.
Luchasaurus and Christian Cage are going up against the team of the Varsity Blondes. Last week, Luchasaurus put them through the table at the same time, so they want some revenge in an actual match. This match goes exactly the way we thought it would, where Luchasaurus beats both of the Varsity Blondes up, clotheslines them into outer space, then chokeslams both of them, tags in Christian, who gets the pin just like that. Didn't even do anything, just to get the win. And then he gets on top of Luchasaurus's shoulders like Jungle Boy used to do and poses like him and then looks at the camera and says, "That's right." And then gets down as they're celebrating the win. Jungle Boy's music hits. The crowd goes wild. Out comes Jungle Boy with a steel chair. He walks down the ring. Christian barks orders at him like, "Go get him." And you think Luchasaurus is going to attack him, but they stand face to face. Instead, Kanosaurus steps aside and allows Jungle Boy to chase after Christian Cage. And boy, does he chase him right up through the crowd, right up. And I don't think Christian knew how fast Jungle Boy was running, because Christian's booking it, but then Jungle Boy is fast. And Christian's like huffing and puffing. And he looks and he's like, "Oh, you're right behind me. Oh, shit. Okay." And then keeps running, which I thought was pretty great. But now leads us all to the best part is this is like his like revenge return angle. Mm. And it's Baltimore still playing.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Like, I love the song for him.
Yeah.
But when you're seeing him like stare someone down with the mean face, right, and I'm getting revenge, and it's it didn't really fit.
You could have just cut it quicker than they. All you need to do is cut
and
it,
especially because he looks like a kid as well. Like
he looks just, more of a man now.
It still looked like just this kid coming out to this nice music, yeah, and he's trying to look tough. It's right, like Simba at the beginning of The Lion King trying to roar, you know. And
that's
like,
where Jungle Boy is right
that's
now.
That's how he feels.
So Luchasaurus this whole time was just pretending to be with Christian so that he could set this up, or what?
I don't know. I think this was way too soon.
Yeah.
I think you could have dragged this out a bit and not necessarily have Luchasaurus touch or hurt Jungle Boy, but stop him and keep it going. Because he's still, okay, so he's what, just been with Christian to get close to him?
I have no idea.
Like, he was still just... I'd still be like, if I was Brian Pillman, be like, "Yo, fuck you.
Yeah.
You put me through a table like 3 times the other week.
Yeah.
Just so you can look out for your friend." Like, I thought there were legs in this Christian and Luchasaurus thing.
Me too.
And I think cutting it where they have, never really finding out what Christian apparently had on him. What happened to Marco?
What happened to Marco? Remember what happened to Marco?
Yeah, like, cool. Like, Jungle Boy's been out a few weeks, I think, so the injury, like, the timing was right to bring him back, but I didn't like the Luchasaurus element.
Yeah, it needed... This is unclear of what they are doing with the story. Like, Luchasaurus was just... It is still... Because I think it's wrong. This whole thing is wrong because he attacked Jungle Boy. He took him out for a long time. Luchasaurus just off the jump should have been mad and tried to and attack him, but instead he's just been,
which he was.
He was.
Christian,
but then,
like, calmed him down.
Yeah,
and clearly had something on him.
Yeah.
So I think even just here you could show that conflict in Luchasaurus where he still cares about Jungle Boy but has this thing with Christian now, but he could have like shown that conflict maybe a bit more and not done anything. The stepping aside and being like, "Go get him," was very much, "Oh, he's a babyface."
Yeah, I got that vibe. Dickie in the chat says it's because Christian's bringing in Tyson Tomko.
All right.
There you go. Maybe. To face Luchasaurus, the dream team. Christian Coalition for Life. We go to backstage interview with the Ass Boys, the Gun Club, and they're talking trash about the Acclaimed, say they finally dropped them. But they have a challenge, and see, it's Austin Gunn who lays out a challenge for Max Caster this Friday on Rampage, but it's not to a match, it's to a rap battle. Austin nice. Gunn, Max Caster.
Probably happening right now.
Yeah, while we're recording this. So, Rampage, baby.
Yeah, Austin Gunn release like those what freestyle raps on YouTube or something, didn't he?
He used to.
Yeah.
Like so he used to do I'm pretty sure he does music and raps and stuff like that. So he does have some skill. He makes a few rhymes here and says, "Look, I've already won. Like I'm going to kick your butt."
Warmed up. Yeah.
You kicked your butt, you're in a rut.
Yeah.
So the rap battle
could be fun.
Yeah.
Think what the is the bar still what is the bar? Is it Bo versus Flo? Is it New Day versus Usos?
New Day Usos for me. Yeah.
Or is it Sino Portman?
Yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to see a real rap battle, you can check the replay from months ago of Up Next
Summer.
It was Up Next Summer where you, Davey Portman, fought John Sino Evil of Shot in the Dark in a rap battle. And in one of the biggest upsets in the history of
television.
Twitch streaming, YouTube streaming, wrestling podcasts, games. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go watch because it gets you hyped up for Up Next Summer Mania, which is happening July 31st. Is there any rap battles taking place?
We need to figure it out. Maybe for the main event, maybe Sino Frank. They could rap.
Sino's not, I mean, Sino's the rapper and he lost against you, so.
If Sino lost to Frank? In a rap battle?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Frank has the skills. I don't know.
Yeah, this is true.
Hmm.
So, Max Caster, Colton... Sorry, not Colton Gunn. Austin Gunn in a rap battle. Yo, listen. Listen. We have our next match. Two Dimes. Cole Carter going up against Ricky Starks for the FTW Championship in this open challenge. Taz on commentary, because it's Team Taz and the FTW... Gives a little history lesson about the FTW title. Mentions that only a few people have held it, like himself, Sabu.
Not JR. Like, sorry.
Taz.
I thought you said JR was giving a history.
No, Taz.
My bad.
JR giving a history lesson, yeah. Only if it's someone's background on sports, which he then somehow manages to do and lets us know that Cole Carter was really good at track.
Great.
JR is always on top.
Right.
If you
she'll be a great wrestler.
If a wrestler had any sports background in college or university or just in general, JR will sniff it out and he will let you know for sure. That's what he's good at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's a back and forth. Cole Carter, you think is like gonna get squashed here, but actually gets a quick offense and kind of has Ricky's number back and forth. Hits a huge drop kick, which looked good for a near fall. Ricky does a lot of his walking the ropes. I love whenever he does this move. He makes it look so good and effortless. There's then Ricky who gets hit with these cross bodies. He eventually takes a breather and they go to break. When we come back, Cole eventually hits this crazy cross body and is gearing up for some big moves. But Ricky stops him, eventually hits him with the spear and gets the 1-2-3. But I thought they gave Cole Carter a little bit of a shine.
Him a lot. He hit like a big TKO.
Yeah.
JR kept on being on his case because he wasn't going for the cover. Like he was hitting these big moves, but then would like go for something else or go and pose. But yeah, I thought he looked good. I'm a bit at the point now with AEW. There are so many people on this roster. I don't really know if I care about seeing a random Cole Carter match on TV.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure there are other people on the roster Ricky Starks could have had a match with and won. I think a lot of the time, these sort of Dynamite matches, it's clear, like, who's winning a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fine. I like Ricky Starks. I think he feels like he's got a bit of momentum going on at the moment, both him and Hobbs. The crowd really like him. There were lots of chants for like Ricky in this. But yeah, the match I kind of could have done without on Dynamite.
Yeah, like no disrespect to Two Dimes, but no one, if you don't, like a lot of people don't watch NXT anymore and they don't even know who this guy is or what the story is. I get it. He was in AEW before he was there. So therefore, hey, he's not in WWE anymore. We'll throw you a bone. Come back, wrestle for us. I just don't know if this was exactly needed. And he looked just like every other guy in this role. He looked good in wrestling, but like, there's a lot of wrestlers already here. So I don't think like it's easy to say like, oh, AEW just picking up more ex-WWE people. It's like, okay, this guy actually was here before. So they said like this is his return to AEW. Like this is him coming back. So it's like, okay, cool. But no one knows who this guy is. Yeah. He's very, like, bottom of the totem pole here, but maybe this is the start for him. But nothing that completely – again, not knocking two dimes because you know we love our two dimes, but Ricky could have had a match with it so many other people.
It just made – it continued for me, which I felt like the last few weeks.
Yeah.
It's like, okay – like, you notice the lack of stars on this show,
yeah.
I think, at the moment.
Yeah, I get it, for sure.
And then you've got bigger names who are around and healthy and aren't really doing much.
Yeah. After the match, Ricky says that was a good effort from I don't even remember, two dimes. He then says that he wants to have an open challenge right now, right here, another match. So whoever wants to enter this challenge for the FTW title, come out here. And Danhausen's music hits. And he comes out ready for a match, and he says, let's go right now. And Ricky says, oh, actually, I meant next week. So
crowd were pissed.
Yeah,
the crowd were going to see it now.
They were really mad at Ricky for saying that. So it is now
Ricky
official.
Even went, you can watch it on TV.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Because they're booing. So it is now, what, official? We're getting Ricky Starks versus Danhausen for the FTW title next week. But this means, there's a bigger picture here. Hook is in Team Taz, sort of still. It's Taz's kid. Been hanging out with Danhausen. So maybe somehow, some way.
Yeah, they kind of separated them recently.
Yeah.
Like, quietly. But yeah. That didn't break them up. So yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Leading to that, what, Hook feuding with Starks?
I guess.
Hook needs a proper feud.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a good idea.
I'm kind of down with Ricky and Hobbs staying as a team because there's still so much they
yes,
could do.
Yes, so why not have Hook win this thing and have them go for the tag titles?
Yeah. Saw someone on Reddit was saying, why aren't they calling Absolute Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs the tag team name of Absolute Power? And I'm like, that sounds amazing. They should use that. Yeah. I like them as a team. But Ricky, like, remember when Ricky had all this steam and then the injury hurt him?
Mm.
And now I think he's picking that back up.
He's picking it up, for sure.
And
that they're kind of quiet. Like, Taz still is like, these are my boys and stuff, but they don't really call themselves Team Taz as much anymore.
Yeah.
It's Hobbs and Starks. And like it's like they're breaking away a little bit. So, I didn't even think of the Hook connection, but that makes me more interested than this Danhausen match.
Yeah. We go backstage and we see Athena, Statlander, and Willow hanging about, and they're talking about the baddie section, meaning Jade and her pals, and they have a match up next, and they say that they're going to be baddie killers.
Yeah.
Baddie killers.
Going to crush them.
Yeah. I know you weren't a big fan of Ember Moon in NXT or WWE, but it feels like she completely is left off where she picked up where she left off.
It's even the thing, like, here she's going like, oh, Chris, you're going to look great with the AEW Women's Championship around your waist, and I'll look great with the second title around my waist. It's just stuff like that where it's like, why are you making me care about you? You're settling for second best, Athena.
Wow.
It's
I think the TBS title is a real title, right, lately.
No, I do, but, like, realistically, it's... Everyone should want the main title, right? No, absolutely. I think Jade feels like
the champion
here. This was fine, I guess. I don't really like hearing any of them speak. I know that sounds bad, but I found them all very irritating.
And they're good guys. They're the baby faces.
I think that's the thing. I think they're good guys with just nothing, no character, no personality. They're just giggly good guys. And you need some sort of edge or something.
Yeah. They're trying that with Statlander, but I just don't know where you're going with it.
I feel like they've dropped that completely.
Yeah.
She left the best friends, she changed her makeup, and now she's just like best friends again, but with these girls.
Yeah. FTR come out to talk with Tony Schiavone, and Cash Wheeler says that they have their match with the Briscoe brothers, the second, it's the rematch. And now it is a 2 out of 3 falls tag team match, which just sounds awesome. So Briscoe's an FTR rematch this Saturday at Death Before Dishonor. And Cash Wheeler says, but Briscoe's, don't expect us to give up these Ring of Honor tag titles, because if you want them, you're going to have to get them from our cold, dead hands. And this is when Dax gets the stick. And he says, I want to tell a little story about a little 8-year-old girl who found out through different doctors that she had a little hole in her heart. And her parents, her father would say, what can we do, doc? Well, the doc said, she just has to fight, and she has to fight hard. So that's what that little girl did. And that 8-year-old girl is my daughter. And the crowd reacts just how we kind of all reacted. And he says that this Saturday, well, it's time for Daddy to fight. And Daddy will fight. And Briscoe's, I'm going to fight like an 8-year-old girl. And we going to beat your ass. Top guys out.
I love that. How that would have been a, like, insult before. Yeah. You fight like an 8-year-old girl.
Right.
But I love how it's like, badass.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight like an 8-year-old girl.
Yeah. Stop it right now. Dax Harwood, Wrestler of the Year. No, I cannot see anyone topping this guy. For me, anyways. Just everything. From the wrestling to the promos. This guy just... They're promoting a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And this guy just went out and threw this promo out there like nothing. But one of the best things he's ever like, said.
It's so awesome to see this babyface run. Because, I think both of them are just so good at it. And to think how great they were as heels. Like, they were a team that I couldn't, for the longest time ever seeing...
Yeah.
Be babyface, because they were just so good at being, you know, the mean, no flips, just fists kind of tag team.
Yeah.
And like when they came out for the dark segment in the Rochester show I went to, Cash was like running through the crowd, like stage diving, stuff like that, like just soaking it in. And he starts this off here being like, I'm like, this is still like new to me, basically getting these reactions. And Dax is just... a lot of his promos, he relates to real life stuff and his family. And it just, you hear it's from the heart and it feels so honest. Again, like in that dark setting, he cut an incredible promo that you'll never see. But I think they're awesome.
Yeah.
And they feel like they are the guys at the moment. Which is something I think is maybe a bit of an issue in AEW that I don't think... any of the champions ever really feel like the guys. It's always someone else, which is interesting.
Sure.
But yeah, I think this match is going to be great and be interesting to see once like we're moving away from ROH, like what are they going to actually be doing in AEW moving forward?
Yeah. The match sounds amazing. The first time was, you know, match of the year contender for sure. And one of the best tag team matches, just full stop. So I will be checking that match out. Specifically, that is the match that has me hooked.
Yeah.
For this show. These two are on an incredible run. Dax running his mouth like this, cutting promos like this is like, man, you got it. Like, you figured this out. I know a lot of their old, back in NXT and WWE, it was all about like, we're trying to get wrestling back to the way it was. You know, that's what their
he's
stick
was.
He's
always been good on the mic, hasn't he? We always said like, oh, he's actually a good promo.
And they have done that. Like, for me, they are exactly what like, feels like the old school wrestling mixed in properly with what wrestling has become, and they nail it. And seeing them as baby faces is awesome. And yeah, finally breaking away, I presume they beat the Briscoes this Saturday. I see them. I still think the All Out match is still the Young Bucks and FTR round 3 winner take all sort of scenario, but we have actual champions in the way of that now,
yeah, you've just got a bit of like hot potatoing if you want to get there.
Yeah, so. But still, either way, I thought this was the highlight of the show for me, him cutting this promo. And it was just kind of like a quick little promo in the ring. And just, they're incredible. So Dax especially just stands out, like, just so amazing. But can't wait for that match. More Ring of Honor stuff, though, because Jay Lethal's backstage. And he's with Sanjay wearing a Shark Week hat. And Satnam Singh in the back. Again, always looking like Batman villains. This time, literally with the shark hat on. So,
yeah, none of these guys look like wrestlers. I mean, Satnam Singh's tall.
Huge, but
they just look like they've been at the office party.
Right? They were all three of them were in the back room a little too long, and now they're all really aggressive, yelling at the camera. Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. It's like, oh, let's pretend to be wrestlers. Let's cut promos. We're drunk, and we're at the office Christmas party.
Yeah, they just do this every week. So do you just film these in bulk and then release them?
It's the same thing every week. And I don't think Jay Lethal ever really sounds that great or menacing.
Yeah.
I don't care about this match. Haven't seen Samoa Joe for weeks.
They say that in this promo. They go, "You're ducking us. You're a coward. You never show up on thing," because I think he was injured or something. But
these guys aren't compelling enough to carry a feud on their own. You know,
and that there's three of them.
Like we've seen the feud things on, like, building a feud with just one guy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think recently. Kevin Owens. Yeah. Masterful. Like, great at that. These guys, sorry, for 2 months, just yelling backstage.
About laughing.
The TV title.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Why do you care so much about it?
You really want it back.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Samoa Joe will retain, I think. I guess.
Like, who cares?
Yeah. It's weird. We go to the women's six-woman tag. Willow Nightingale, Athena, and... No, sorry. Sorry, that match was scrapped. I didn't quite understand this, but then Stokely says that Layla Gray cannot compete tonight.
Layla Gray's injured, so Chris Statlander's stepping out. So it's Willow and Athena versus Kira Hogan and Jade.
So the baddies got some bad luck.
Yeah.
Baddie luck there with another injury. Damn. And that was Layla Gray's, like, big opening.
Yeah.
To step into the baddie section. They had high hopes. Well, Willow and Athena versus Jade and Kira Hogan. And, I mean, we had Kevin Gates show up here in Atlanta for AEW. Look who walks out to the ring with the baddie section in Stokely. Jermaine Dupri.
From La Resistance?
No, that's Rene Dupri.
Sorry, who's this?
Jermaine Dupri, the second famous, most famous Dupri.
What is he, a rapper as well?
Yeah.
Is he from Atlanta?
Yeah.
What's with Atlanta rappers and terrible names? So, Jermaine and Kevin?
Jermaine Dupri. You never heard of Jermaine Dupri?
No.
He has a song. Doesn't he have a song, Welcome to Atlanta?
You tell me.
What's your favorite Jermaine Dupri song?
Well, I thought he was the guy from that French tag team, so I've no idea.
You thought this guy was French-Canadian wrestler Rene Dupri.
That's what it sounded like. I don't know. I haven't seen him for a while.
Jermaine Dupri was, like, he had some songs back in the day. I think he was known for dating Janet Jackson.
Okay.
Mariah Carey, possibly.
Right.
So, good for him, Jermaine Dupri. Stokely looked over the moon to be sitting next to this guy. In Atlanta. He was just, like, loving it. Okay. So, yeah.
Jermaine.
We'll listen to some Jermaine Dupri after the show. Money ain't a thing. So, Jermaine Dupri is just hanging around. I imagine everyone...
He's about to dole out vegan goodies for Peter.
Jermaine?
Yeah.
Wow, look at this guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Yeah. What's he doing?
He's handing out vegan goodies for Peter.
Nice. I want to think that after the show, Stokely and Jermaine Dupri and Kevin Gates all went to Magic City, which is one of the most famous strip clubs in the world,
right,
in Atlanta.
Nice.
Yeah, but you're supposed to go on Mondays, apparently. Magic City on a Monday.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Cheap never, night?
I don't know, but apparently it pops off on a Monday.
Hmm.
Yeah. So this match starts, and we have the baddies, meaning Jade and Kira, kind of putting the boots to Willow, and Jade doesn't want to keep getting in the ring with Athena. And we have Willow, who sends both of them on the outside and runs off the apron with a double blockbuster to both of them, which was pretty cool. And then Athena with this springboard crossbody to everyone on the outside as they go to break. When we come back, Jade and Athena finally have a stare down in the ring, and Athena starts hitting her with these forearms and yelling at her. So Jade hits her back, and they're slugging it out here, hitting each other with these tough, snug forearms. And eventually Athena goes off the top for, like, a flying crossbody, but gets caught in midair by Jade, who hits a picture-perfect fallaway slam and then a kip-up. Jade is just on another level. That was, like, nothing to her to catch her and throw her like that. And then Athena, while Jade is flexing, kips up as well as they have a stare down. Eventually, Athena gets sent to the outside, and it's Jade who's in with Willow and hits the, like, a tornado bomb on her. But Willow kicks out. Jade has had enough and hits the Jaded and gets the win for the baddies here.
Athena hit a really cool move on, I think it was Jade, wasn't it? Jade, like, popped her up, and then she came down with, like, the double knees meteora looked great.
Kind of like Evan Bourne used to do, or Matt Seidel. Yeah,
looked really good. I thought the end felt a little awkward. I don't know if Jade, like, legit
got hurt,
got
or
banged
something.
Or something, like, because she seemed a bit, like, flustered towards the end. She'd hit her, what was it, the, like, Tour of the Islands kind of move, was it?
Yeah.
And then just sort of picks Nightingale up, and it's like, all right, let's just do the finish now, and does the Jaded. There wasn't, like, it didn't feel there was a crescendo or any sort of, like, build to hitting the Jaded at the end. Just felt a little messy. Yeah, the match didn't do a great deal for me.
It had some,
I thought that that Athena spot was really cool.
It had some cool stuff in it for sure, but I see what you mean. By the end of it, it was like she just went. Okay,
it's the flow of the match. Yeah. If you know what I mean, like there was individually some like okay things, but it just felt like going from move to move a bit.
I do like Jade though. She's definitely grown on me for sure. We go to Tony.
I liked her kind of just facial reactions on the apron as Kira's just getting beaten up, and she's like, "No, she's got this. She's got this."
I also love JR on commentary. He was like, "That bitch, whose bitch, this bitch,
this bitch, the bitch, a bitch."
It's probably clipped by now.
I hope so.
I can't wait to find that. But JR just going off. We then go to Tony Schiavone backstage with Thunderstorm. Did you know one half of the tag team Thunderstorm is AEW Women's Champion?
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, here she is. So I talked about how I think Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, and Satnam just pre-tape weeks bulk in advance of these things they've been doing every week. You could say the same thing for Thunderstorm.
I feel Britt just found a green screen one day and was like, Tony, I actually want a year off.
So like, I'll just walk into interviews.
Interrupting interviews, and you can just put in whoever you want me to feud with.
Yeah.
It'll probably be Thunder Rosa.
It'll always be Thunder Rosa. So she mentions that she has a match next week with. So she had that match. They showed clips, they showed clips, but they aired the whole match on Dark against Mayu. Yamashita?
I guess.
Yeah, and she says the rematch is next week on Dynamite, so that should be pretty awesome, but then is interrupted by Britt Baker.
Before we go to the Britt bit, I felt this was where you needed like a graphic or something, and this is... AEW throw a lot at you. And here I've got Tony Schiavone talking to me about saving the fishes, and then mentions a Japanese wrestler who's not on this roster, who Thunder will be. And it's like you... You tune out for a second and you're like, sorry, who's the opponent? I think it did need, as they're saying it, like, show that clip again or throw the graphic up as they're speaking or something.
Right.
Again, it's like, we've got a load of women in this company.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. It's a bit of a dead... Sure, she lost overseas, but this is going to be a one-and-done thing, and it's Thunder Rose is not losing the title. And what she doesn't really have much going on, apart from what, Britt again?
Yeah. Well, Britt interrupts again. I'm so over it. Like, I'm so done. I don't care about Thunderstorm. I don't care about Britt Baker anymore. It's so annoying.
It's just they don't know what to do. Like, they don't know what to come up with for these people.
Thunder Rose's, the bit is like, Britt always interrupts me. Like, that is the bit. But it's like, because it actually happens a lot. So let's not do it ever again for like a year.
Britt found Jeff Hardy's pants while he was away, though.
It looked like Matt Hardy's pants.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't on the show this week, was he?
She was wearing his pants.
Really, are we going to Britt Thunder again? Is that just the thing?
Just go away. Like this... Stop it.
Yeah, the division just isn't clicking for me.
Right now. Not at all. No, honestly, not at all. We go to the main event, the Barbed Wire Everywhere match. The Barbed Wire Everything All at Once match. Meaning even Justin Roberts' microphone is wrapped in barbed wire.
Justin Roberts should have been wrapped in barbed
wire. Yeah, wrap him. Wrap him up. Wrap him around his neck. there's barbed wire literally on like some of the ropes, on some of the... There's tables that are set up with barbed wire. There's a shark.
There's weapons. There's like chairs wrapped in barbed wire and stuff like that.
So this is also a shark cage match, meaning the Jericho Appreciation Society are locked in the shark cage. So we see them all, and Daniel Garcia's got some wicked swim trunks, board shorts, and
Jake
in a Hawaiian shirt, always looking good. And then 2.0. They get all locked in this shark cage that's then raised up above the arena. So you just see this great shot of all of them just hanging out there. So then this match starts off. It is the Painmaker, Chris Jericho. He comes out like with the Rey Mysterio entrance, popping up. Who's that out the sky? He's got a mask over his face, and the thing says, like the marquee says, the Japanese Terrifier, the Painmaker.
I think, yeah, didn't he say like the Wizard, the Japanese Terrifier, the Painmaker?
Chris Jericho. Oh my goodness. So he comes out. A whole crazy entrance. He looks like he's dressed up like a member of KISS or something, and I know he's loving it. And out comes his opponent, Eddie Kingston, who's clearly seen a few barbed wire matches here and there, because he, just like his idol Terry Funk, is like wrapped up in certain parts because he knows, like, I'll be getting cut up here. So he goes down to the ring, and as Justin Roberts is still making the introduction, he grabs the microphone, which again is wrapped in barbed wire, and proceeds to nail Chris Jericho in the head with it until the bell rings right away and Jericho is already bleeding. Mm-hmm. Did Jericho blade and then just turn around and then took this bump? Or, like, I don't know how this worked. But
it was just barbed wire.
Yeah, I guess so. So Jericho's already bleeding and this match is off to the races with barbed wire everywhere. Eddie Kingston still has the microphone in hand and says, "Can you hear me?" And the crowd says, "Yeah." And he says, "All right, well, Jericho, you're going to bleed, bitch. Shark Week." Throws down the microphone. Then starts to stomp him and starts cutting him open with different pieces of barbed wire that's just all around. He's taking Jericho and throwing him into the ropes that are covered in it. And it's just like sticking to him and cutting him up and everything. Jericho eventually comes back and starts attacking Eddie Kingston and gets Eddie into the barbed wire. So Eddie's bleeding as well. Jericho's face is so red that he's got the black, like, Painmaker makeup he does, but then his whole face is also now red. He looked like Wolfpack Sting.
A little bit.
Just because, like, the mix...
Like Sting, like Wolfpack Sting red. Towards the end of the match, where, like, half the makeup's come off.
Yeah, but red. Yeah. Or, like, he's, like, trying to be some metalhead, like, Guar. I don't know what he's trying to do, but it looked great. Eventually, it shows them fighting up top, and there's a table laid out, like, not set up, but laid out with barbed wire. And Jericho hits a Frankensteiner off the top to Eddie on that. And he gets his back cut up quite a bit. During picture-in-picture, Jericho puts Eddie in the Walls of Jericho, but he's laid out on top of barbed wire. So I thought this was pretty cool. I think he also cut him up there. I know that we've watched a lot of barbed wire death matches and stuff, but when he took the Frankensteiner, it looked like the barbed wire... Eddie wears, like, ball shorts and stuff, right? The barbed wire was caught right around the crotch area and was sticking to his leg, and I was getting worried.
Well, Jericho's ripped on the inside leg.
Yeah.
He had like his...
blood and tights ripped?
Yeah, his tights were completely ripped
on the inside. Yeah, that's some scary stuff. Yeah. I hope they're wearing protection. Yeah. Because that's the last thing you don't want barbed up.
Like, I feel wrestlers just in general should wear protection.
Exactly. So especially during a barbed wire death match here. These both guys are fighting. Eventually, there's a table set up ringside. Eddie Kingston hits a suplex off the apron through a table with barbed wire. Jericho, the camera's right on him. He's bleeding like a pig, and he's screaming at the camera. This is when Tainara Conti runs down, attacks Ruby Soho, steals the keys from her, but Anna Jay, her best friend or former best friend, runs down to stop her, but instead turns on Ruby Soho, beats the shit out of her, and grabs the device that lowers the shark cage. That's right. A heel turn from Anna Jay here tonight as the shark cage is lowered. Anna Jay runs over with the... Yeah, it's Ty, who's got the keys to the padlock to unlock it. The camera's right on her, but she can't undo the lock. She hands it over to Garcia. He can't do it either. He says, "Screw this, we only got 2 minutes left on TBS. I'm slipping through the cage," and so he does.
I feel like we should really just start having gimmicked padlocks.
Yeah.
How often have we seen the thing with the key? Don't use real keys. Just have a padlock that you can pretend to open it with a key, but it's open. Especially pay-per-view, you can kind of get away with somewhat, but TV, you're looking at the clock and it's like 9:58 p.m. and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
They all miraculously just could fit through the bars.
It was Garcia and one of the guys of 2.0.
Ange, wasn't it?
Cool Hand Ange. They fit through the bar, the cage thing, but then eventually they get it opened and Hager and the other one, Matt Menard, make it out. But I thought that was good play on Garcia.
Yeah.
This guy knew. No, I need to make my spot.
We gotta go.
If I can fit through these bars, I'm going. So good on him. So they all run and rush the ring as they start to attack Eddie Kingston, but in return, out comes Ortiz, John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, and Claudio Castagnoli as they all attack the Jericho Society people. In the ring, Ortiz has the eight ball in the sock. He smacks Jericho over the head with it as a spot, but Jericho eventually still kicks out of that. Eventually, the ring is cleared, and it's Eddie and Jericho in the ring alone again. Jericho hits a lion salt, but in midair, the chair is thrown at him. At one point, he gets a chair in the face as well, in like trying to do a code breaker. It kind of got a little, it broke down and got a little messy here, but eventually the back fist from Eddie, but Jericho kicks out. He thinks now he's going to wrap his fist in barbed wire, and we all think, okay, well, now he'll do the spinning fist with the barbed wire, but instead he puts
he wants to tap him out, so it's the stretch plump using the barbed wire
wrapped around
Jericho.
Yeah, so he's locked that move in. Jericho is screaming, but out of nowhere Sammy Guevara rushes down, super kicks Eddie. There's a bit of a weird mess up scramble here where eventually it's just Jericho hitting the Judas effect on Eddie and gets the 1-2-3, and the Painmaker is undefeated in AEW. It continues because he beats Eddie Kingston. There was a real weird, like, messy bit where it looked like Sammy accidentally was attacking Jericho, and then like realized it looked really messy towards the end here. I was super entertained, especially the first kind of half of this match, but when it kind of all seemed to break down, I think after the padlock thing, it all kind of just fizzled out.
Well, they didn't leave too long for this match anyway.
Yeah,
and they don't have the overrun. So it's a hard out at 10. And it just... I think they were trying to get all the shit in before the show goes off the air. You also had the post-match where Eddie kind of then dumped Jericho into the barbed wire web.
Yeah.
By the ring. And
yeah, that looked nasty.
Jericho. So Eddie getting his heat back. But yeah, I didn't feel that... This is meant to be the blow-off, I would think, to this feud. And barbed wire death match should be. I don't think it was given the time it needed. I think you could cut some other stuff on the show. The stuff with Ty and Sammy, you're looking at everyone going the cage and you're like, all right, well, Ty and Sammy aren't there. So that was kind of predictable.
Yeah.
I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
I'll always appreciate someone who for our entertainment is jumping on barbed wire and stuff. Like, sure. Fair enough,
yeah.
But compared to like their first match, which was awesome, and Blood and Guts, which was awesome, this didn't touch it and just felt cheesy.
Yeah, it did. I thought, again, the first half of it, they were working really hard and were working really well together. Rana's off the top, a lot of barbed wire spots, but then it just got a little bit too overbooked. When, like, you knew that's what was going to happen. Oh, it's a match where these guys are locked in the cage so they can't, like, interfere. Oh, you know they're gonna get out of this. And like, it felt like it broke down towards the end, which is too bad because I was super entertained by it, but by the end I was like, ooh, that's messy. But does this feud continue?
It feels like it has to.
I know. Now this wasn't a blow off.
Another singles,
just one more time singles match.
Yeah,
and Jericho can still win, sure, but like, end the feud. I think Eddie should win, but
I guess in a way it's you could look at it as like 1-1-1. You know, Eddie won the singles match, the Combat Club won Blood and Guts, but Eddie didn't win Blood and Guts.
Right.
Jericho didn't lose Blood and Guts. It was Claudio on Menard. So that's almost like, yeah, the team won, but Eddie didn't win.
Right.
So that's almost like a draw. And then this one, Jericho's won.
Well, Jericho
so
lost.
You can have
him.
A
yeah.
you can have the rubber match now.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I always enjoy Dynamite. I enjoyed the bad Dynamites.
Yeah.
I didn't think this was a great episode, to be honest.
Yeah.
Can't say there was a match that really blew me away. Don't think there was much story development. I think some of the stuff they focus on is bizarre. Like the Butcher Blade Dark Order stuff, like the Tony Nese stuff. As much as I loved that FTR promo, I feel that kind of match for Death Before Dishonor has already had a bit of a build. They've just announced Claudio Castagnoli versus Jonathan Gresham for the world title, where we didn't get anything beyond a graphic for that.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're trying to sell this pay-per-view, maybe the world title match we should know something about.
You're absolutely right. They didn't even touch on that. I'm sure they will, I guess, on this Rampage.
Which sounds like a great match. Like, that's something I'd want to see, but
yeah,
this is your biggest platform to advertise this pay-per-view you've got going on at the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know if they fully, like, realize that either.
Yeah, no, this wasn't one of my favorite Dynamites. I still am always enjoy watching it, and we're always just nitpicking, critiquing everything, but I still enjoyed the show, but it was kind of I feel like the past few weeks has been kind of this floater week because they're still, I don't know why, but it feels that way.
I don't know if it's because of like Forbidden Door, Death Before Dishonor, yeah. Like just focus is everywhere. I think maybe like there are reports about maybe Kenny's ready soon. Maybe Punk will be back soon. Maybe. Yeah. Is it a kind of where everything's in a holding pattern because we're waiting to see if we do have these guys?
Yeah.
And once we do, know one way or the other, like if you know like Punk, we're not having him for All Out, he won't be ready in time, you go, okay, right, let's focus on what is Mox's story here, let's get that going. But I think maybe they're kind of just holding everything off because kind of like, you know, beginning of Empty Arena where there were the big matches where they're holding off because, well, we could be back in a month and back to normal. And then it dragged on and you go, oh, I guess we'll just start we'll do FTR Bucks because
we have to.
We should, yeah. I feel that's where we are right now.
It feels like a holding pattern for sure. And speaking of Kenny Omega and Punk, I mean, if reports of him coming back for All Out, it's clearly you would go Moxley, CM Punk. It looks as if they had this whole awesome story planned for CM Punk MJF with him, you know, walking out. We haven't seen or heard any mention of him really. And I think that was the direction they're going, and then now they got to switch that around. Therefore, MJF isn't still not on TV, so that's a big character that we're missing. Wardlow wasn't on this show either, but he's going to be doing more. He's been talking about open challenges as well, TNT stuff. But I think they were going to do this whole storyline of MJF and Punk for All Out. Now you can't do that. If Punk is ready, Mox Punk. Punk will keep the AEW title. And then I would assume either Grand Slam or Full Gear that it's Kenny Omega versus CM Punk.
I think Grand Slam's Eddie.
Eddie Kingston Moxley?
Whoever the champ is.
Okay.
Kingston Punk 2 for the title in New York.
Yeah.
I think Kingston's hot right now. And
I mean, he lost in this match.
But the feud's not over yet. And I think if you have him win the feud.
Yeah.
And then, like, it felt that first match he had with Punk, the story wasn't quite over.
Yeah.
And I think New York, Eddie's, like, hometown, I think the crowd love him. I think you hold Kenny for pay-per-view, if he's back.
Yeah, I could see Kenny coming out at the end of All Out.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen him in a long time, but that would definitely make my interest in a little bit more of having some of your main characters. There's so much you could do with Young Bucks, Hangman, any multi-story. We haven't seen Adam Cole in a little while. We haven't seen Red Dragon. These injuries are affecting the show, clearly. Like, we're noticing now. There's way too much Tony Nese. Yeah. The fact that Tony Nese is now the Matt Hardy. Like, remember when Matt Hardy was booked every week?
Like, the fact Tony Nese is doing more than Hangman.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Like, Kenny's out. Punk's out.
Yeah.
Brian's out. Why is Hangman just
hanging
around backstage, saving
his friends,
his mates. Like, he should be a focus right now.
Yeah.
Like, Claudio, you just had him join. He's barely been on TV. Like, there's other people you can focus on instead of Two Dimes and Tony Nese. right?
205 NXT level up stars.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah, really, really weird. But I mean, going forward with maybe people returning from injuries, we'll have our stacked cast back. But yeah, Kenny, there's a lot of big matches you can still do that haven't even happened yet with him. Same with CM Punk. Then it opens up when Moxley can break away from that. Maybe they'll do more Combat Club stuff. I'm not quite sure where they're gonna go with that route. Danielson coming back. Danielson tweeted today saying Jericho's been taking credit for injuring him when it was actually Eddie Kingston that hurt him somehow, some way, in a tweet, and saying it doesn't matter, when I come back I'll kick both their heads in.
Right.
So maybe he's in the rafters coming back.
I think
back
something
soon.
You will see is when these people come back, you can't hold off on these dream matches too long.
Yeah, do them.
Who knows when, how long Punk's run's going to be. Like, he's already been hurt. Same with Danielson. You've got to just get to those matches.
Grand Slam, run it back. Kenny Omega, Danielson too. No right. title on the line this time. Just do it. Give him an hour. Hmm. Let him go. That would be great. But I'm sure we'll be getting some dream matches in the near future. All Out should be pretty good. With or without CM Punk, it'll still be awesome. But going forward, so far, they're a little lost with trying to advertise Ring of Honor and trying to add all these other things. Ring of Honor, the pay-per-view that we mentioned, it has Jonathan Gresham going up against Claudio Castagnoli for the Ring of Honor world title. I imagine that's the main event. Or maybe the Briscoes match.
I think the tag match will be the main.
Do you see Claudio winning this?
Yes.
Winning the Ring of Honor world title.
I do.
Yeah. Gresham was then attached to Tully Blanchard, who's going to be in his corner for this match.
Right.
And that instantly kills any hype I think I had for Jonathan Gresham.
You don't like Tully?
There's a time and a place for Tully, and it ain't here. It ain't this right now. Samoa Joe, Jay Lethal. I think Joe wins and retains.
Yeah, sure.
We have Mercedes Martinez versus Serena Deeb.
Serena.
Sure, yeah. And then I think they announced a bunch of other matches.
You got Wheeler Yuta versus Daniel Garcia.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For the Pure Championship. I could see Garcia winning this.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's going to be great.
Did you see some of the hype up videos they've been putting out with the sit down interview between the two?
Okay, no.
Really good, stuff. Daniel Garcia, every time I watch him, even on this episode, he's someone to watch. Mm. Honestly, I can see him being a pretty big deal in the world of pro wrestling. And I think he's on a bit of a tear. For sure. This could be good. They've added Dalton Castle and the Boys versus the Righteous. Yeah, the Righteous
I have
ones?
No idea who the Righteous are.
Yeah.
Was this for
Righteous.
The six
man? Those are six man title?
I don't know. Was it?
Whoa. That? No way.
And they added Willow Nightingale against Allison Kay in the pre-show.
Nice. All right. So that seems like a pretty fun little show.
The Righteous is Vincent Bateman, Vita Von Starr, and Dutch, a.k.a. William.
One of them's the Horror King guy. I remember him.
Vincent's in Impact right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he's in the, like, Honor
No
Club? More or whatever they're called.
Nice.
Like the ROH invasion thing.
Good stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Death Before Dishonor will be pretty cool.
Yeah.
They've announced some matches for Rampage, including that rap battle that's going to happen. But then they also announced that on Rampage it's Page and Silver versus Butch and Blade, so it's Hangman and John Silver versus the Butcher and the Blade.
Okay.
Lee Moriarty versus Dante Martin, Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter in action, and Jay Lethal versus Christopher Daniels. I forgot to mention Christopher Daniels interrupted them. That I really don't care about.
Also looked like he was at the party.
With his shirt off.
They're all in there. It's when they're... It's because it looks like they've been wearing a suit and then they've taken off the jackets, taken off the tie, undone a couple of buttons, and put on a shark hat because they're silly.
Christopher Daniels.
It's what they all look like. Christopher Daniels put on his sunglasses because he's a little wavy.
Christopher Daniels. What's going on with his eye? He's looking like Zach Gibson in NXT.
That's legit.
Legit though, right?
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's from that Bucks super kick.
That's
with
wild.
With the thumbtacks, I believe.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Blew up his eye.
So, yeah, that's it. That's all, I guess.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening to us. If you want to hear more, check out our Patreon because Shark Week starts this week, meaning you can listen to our Sharknado review. You can listen to our Deep Blue Sea review from last year as well. And you can also review, it's summertime season, meaning it's SummerSlam season. We have a show, we recorded it today, SummerSlam 2002, featuring Rock v. Brock, Shawn Michaels returning to face Triple H in the unsanctioned match, plus Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, all these other matches out on that.
And a showdown between Lillian Garcia and The Fink.
And Jamie Noble and Nydia show up.
There's some great shit on this show.
Yeah, good review. That's coming out this week as well. So SummerSlam 2002 review as well. As next week, it is my birthday on Tuesday. And that means we're going to be recording a special Up Yours where I get to pick. And I picked one of my favorite movies, Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. So we would love your feedback for any of you fans of the movie Goodfellas. And that'll be coming out on sometime next week. And then I think we're going to be moving up next to Wednesday during the day. I think around 1 p.m. on Wednesday, the 27th, we'll be doing Up Next. So no Up Next on Tuesday night, but look for it on Wednesday afternoon. And then we'll be going live with this show at Wednesday yep. night. So follow the socials in the group.
We'll keep you updated.
Yeah, we'll let you know if that gets a little too confusing. But if you do want to support us, give us a shot. Patreon.com/upnext. $5 for that North American tier. You get access to all these podcasts. And that's what we like to do is podcast. And we appreciate you. And I myself, Braden Harrington, you can find me Twitter and Instagram. I am at the Braden.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. Shout out Kevin Gates.
Ahoy!